Case number 12-5158. Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, Appellant versus United States Section, International Boundary and Water Commission, U.S., Mexico. Ms. Steinerstein for the appellant, Ms. Lyons for the appellee.
Good
morning, Your Honors. My name is Paula Dinnerstein, and I represent Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, or to shorten that mouthful, PEER. And we are the appellant and the FOIA requester in this case. This case concerns exactly the kind of information that FOIA was intended to provide to empower citizens to know what their government is up to, and in this case, to protect their lives and their property. The Commission justifies withholding this vital information by positing an Alice in Wonderland view of the law, a Mad Hatter world where agencies which have absolutely no law enforcement functions can nevertheless claim a law enforcement
exemption. Can you get the mic a little closer or speak up a little more? I'm really
not. A little closer.
Sorry. The Commission justifies withholding this vital information by relying on an Alice in Wonderland view of the law where a commission, where an agency that has absolutely no law enforcement functions can nevertheless claim a law enforcement exemption merely because it assists or cooperates with or sits on a committee with a law enforcement agency, a category which would apply to nearly every agency in the federal government.
The statute speaks in terms, now talking about Exemption 7 for that part of the case, speaks in terms of law enforcement purposes. And Justice Alito's concurrence in Milner, I found, at least, which is not binding, but I found very instructive on what law enforcement purposes means, and it means not just investigation and prosecution, but means prevention as well, and encompasses, especially post-September 11th, and our mindset encompasses a lot of things that go to critical infrastructure protection.
Yes, certainly.
The fact that an agency doesn't have specific law enforcement functions doesn't mean it can't benefit from Exemption 7F in particular.
I think what Judge Alito was saying was that you can define law enforcement functions to include prevention and detection of crime or terrorist activity. It wasn't saying you can have an agency that doesn't have law enforcement functions. In fact, he specifically said
preventing terrorists.
It could be, but the commission
could
does.
Be?
Yes, but the.
This is clear that preventing a terrorist attack on a dam is a violation of the law, is it not?
I would agree that that is a law enforcement function, but it is not a law enforcement function which the commission has legislative authority to implement. It's the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, which have the authorities to prevent, investigate, apprehend, etc., with regard to terrorists or terrorist attacks or crime. And getting back to what Judge Alito said in the Milner case, what he said is that maybe these documents could come under Exemption 7. The easy part would be to show that there might be a threat to national security from the release. The hard part would be to show that they were compiled for law enforcement purposes. You can't dispense with that part of the exemption, which is the basic prerequisite for an agency to be able to claim it.
But he made clear that, for example, federal building plans would likely qualify under Exemption 7F, which would at least for the maps part of his case would seem
What the maps show is what areas would be inundated in the event of a dam failure.
Right, and wouldn't someone wanting to cause harm to the United States be very interested in that information?
Well, in fact, for instance, the Army Corps of Engineers posts these inundation maps online. A lot of agencies involved with dams have not made the judgment that this would harm national security. But that's not the issue in the case. The issue in this case is whether this falls under that exemption. And the Milner case made clear, the first thing they said in the Milner case is that even if we were to assume, and we do assume, that the release of this information would jeopardize the national security, it cannot be withheld if it doesn't come within the four corners of a FOIA exemption. And if an agency really believes that there is a jeopardy in releasing the information and it doesn't come within the four corners of another FOIA exemption, they can try to get it classified and withhold it under Exemption 1, or they can go to Congress for a special exemption under Exemption 3. But you can't distort Exemption 7 beyond its intended application to law enforcement agencies and law enforcement documents, and thereby...
It says law enforcement purposes. I don't mean to keep hitting that. But
the case
but
law,
the statutory text doesn't refer to law enforcement agencies. It refers to law...
No, but the case law does. The case law says that in order to come within the threshold of Exemption 7, you first have to show...
It has a sliding scale, right? The case law, in other words, if it's an obvious law enforcement function agency, then it's a kind of sliding scale on what you need to show. But it doesn't say that a non-law enforcement agency, as we traditionally think of it, can't invoke Exemption 7F.
I believe the case law does say that. It says that the agency has to have legislated authority for law enforcement in order for its documents to be compiled for a law enforcement purpose. And, for instance, you have these old cases. I think there's a case, CIA versus Weiss or Weiss versus CIA, where this court said that the CIA could not claim Exemption 7 for documents related to domestic surveillance because the CIA doesn't have legislative authority for domestic surveillance. So if the agency doesn't have legislative authority for law enforcement, it can't be compiling a document for a law enforcement purpose. And all this, the statutory language, yes, says compiled for a law enforcement purpose, but the case law says first you have to show the agency has a law enforcement function. And there's absolutely no showing of that kind here. And in addition to not meeting the threshold of showing that they are a law enforcement agency, the particular documents are not shown to be for a law enforcement purpose. The emergency action plans are after-the-fact plans for what you do if the dam has been breached by a terrorist or for any natural reason. And it's like saying that an ambulance route is a law enforcement document just because the ambulance might be leaving from a crime scene. The inundation maps have nothing to do with actual law enforcement apprehending criminals, preventing terrorist attacks. They're merely delineating where the water would go if the dam breaks. In addition to not meeting the threshold exemption, the agency also doesn't meet the additional requirements for an enumerated harm. The emergency action plans don't qualify under Exemption 7E because there is not even claimed to be anything in there that would be a guideline for a law enforcement investigation or prosecution, which is what that particular subset requires. And if you don't meet that initial requirement, you don't even get to whether there's a risk of circumvention of the law, which is all the commission really talks about. And the inundation maps don't meet Section F, which is intended to protect the life or safety, physical safety, of individuals in connection with law enforcement proceedings, such as witnesses, informants, things of that nature. It's not intended to apply to any public safety document that has nothing to do with law enforcement. And I'd also like to say, with regards to Exemption 5, where the technical report was withheld, that they're also stretching the exemption beyond recognition, given that they're trying to apply a deliberative process privilege to a technical document concerning the structural integrity of the dam, things like geology, you know, where are the seepage locations, what are the possible failure modes. Everything they've done to describe the document tells us about facts. They haven't.
I thought your primary section, Exemption 5 argument, related to the fact that a Mexican agency participated in the report draft.
Isn't that your better argument?
Right.
Well, I that certainly is an argument that an agency of a foreign government that we made, you know, is not equivalent to an employee of a federal agency of this country, and that the Mexican side, even though both sides are interested in the safety of the dam, there are different results that could happen from different failure modes. One way could flood Mexico more than the United States, and so there's not an identity of interest there. There's a possible different interest on the Mexican side. And so that is one reason why Exemption 5 doesn't apply, and the other reason is that everything that they've said about this document shows that it's factual. They're not pointing to any legal or policy type of deliberation.
Would that by itself be a reason to that by itself establish that it isn't within Exemption 5?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear
you. Would
your question.
That by itself establish that it isn't within Exemption 5, the fact that the material is factual?
Factual material can't be withheld under Exemption 5. And if there is
that any... That is an absolute rule?
Yes.
Where is that rule?
It's in numerous cases. I believe the Supreme Court ruled that. I'm sorry, I'm not remembering the name of the case at the moment, but I could get it for you when I come back. Because it's what the exemption speaks to, and if you look at the legislative history and if you look at the Supreme Court decisions on the
forget
exemption...
Forget the legislative history. Tell me what the exemption says.
Well, what the courts have said and what the exemption...
Tell me what the exemption says.
The exemption says that... All the exemption says is that you can't get information that wouldn't be available to an agency in litigation, to a person in litigation with the agency. But within that, there's various privileges, including the deliberative process privilege, which applies to the give and take of decisions of deliberative material, where somebody might be revealing an opinion that was later not adopted. It's not about facts. And the only decision they point to is the decision on the dam safety classification, excuse me. And one would hope that that decision was based on facts and not on policy considerations, and that the fact that this dam has been rated as an orange level of urgent, potentially unsafe, that the public has a right to know the facts underlying that.
What shouldn't the section that Judge Sotelo is inquiring about speaks in terms of interagency or intra-agency.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But why shouldn't the Mexican agency be within those terms?
Well, interagency refers to agencies of the United States government. That's how agency is defined.
Where?
In FOIA.
Where is that defined?
Pardon me?
Where is it so defined?
In the Freedom of Information Act.
What
section? I believe it's the definitional section.
F1 under, it's reproduced on page 6 of the addenda to your brief. Agency is defined in sections 551, et cetera, includes any executive department, military department, government corporation, government control corporation, or other establishment in the executive branch of government.
Right, and although it doesn't explicitly say that, I
think
it's pretty clear
more,
this means the United States government, not some other government. So, if there are no further questions, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Jane Lyons, and I'm here this morning on behalf of the United States section of the International Boundary and Water Commission between the United States and Mexico. To save us all time and me breath, I'm going to refer to that as the section of the agency, with your permission. This case presents three main issues that have already been discussed at some length. The first is whether this joint expert report that you've just been discussing about the potential risks of Amistad Dam's foundation is covered by Exemption 5 through the deliberative process privilege.
Can we just pause on that one to maybe take this in order? On the Exemption 5, why is the fact that the Mexican agency participated in the report drafting, why isn't that dispositive under Klamath?
Because the, as this court pointed out in its analysis of Klamath in McKinley versus Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System, the focus on there is the key fact in Klamath that this court identified in McKinley is the competition that was inherent in the water scarcity problem being addressed in Klamath. You've got an Indian tribe, you've got competing water interests, you've got a trust relationship, and there's competition. The safety of Mexicans or citizens of the United States on either side of the border is common. They have a common interest, and it is entirely different. There's no competition.
I mean, there's no way to know for sure the Mexican interests with respect to, obviously, everyone's interested in safety, but that the interests are exactly aligned on how to do things. And there's no way to know that.
Whereas the other case
was two components of the Federal Reserve, right, which is a much different kind of case. Yeah. It seems to me that you have that on the one hand, and the other hand you have Klamath with the Indian tribe, or this case with a foreign government, which seems even more removed.
Yes, but to focus on the sovereignty, say, of the foreign government or the Indian tribe is to miss, I think, the point of Klamath, which emphasized two factors sort of in the general analysis, which are the expectation of the communications will remain confidential and some indicia of a consultant relationship. And that,
has this report been released in Mexico?
Not that I'm aware of, Your Honor. That's certainly not in the record.
What evidence is there to indicate the role that the Mexican authority played in the in preparing the report?
Let me answer that by quoting the record, Your Honor. At the Joint Appendix, page 81, appears the plaintiff's statement of material facts, and that is where the information about CONAGUA's role appears, derivatively, admittedly. At
81
cites, you don't really need to turn to it because what I'm quoting isn't there, but it cites a website of the sections that describes it, and so this is the best evidence we have. It says, CONAGUA's role was, expert consultants were retained under the guidance and agency of technical advisors, and then in parentheses it uses CONAGUA and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. So we have consultants to work under the guidance of people from CONAGUA and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to investigate and evaluate Amistad Dam with a primary focus on the embankment on the embankment foundation in Mexico. And that's from
Are you reading from the footnote?
The footnote, yes. Oh. On JA81, that's right.
Well, it doesn't tell us very much. They work under the guidance of the agencies. What does that mean?
Well, you can draw a little bit more information about it from JA 59 to 60 in the first declaration of Stephen Fitton, which describes this report as one prepared by a panel of experts and consultants to assist the section in its evaluation of the greatest potential risks of Amistad Dam's foundation and embankment, and to provide the section with recommendations about the dam safety rating and considerations, this gets kind of technical, about the types of metrics that the section might consider key in its continued examination of the deficiencies, strengths, adequacies, and projections. So it's a...
This sort of suggests that the Mexican authority did not participate in the actual writing of the report.
I would also offer the support of the Vaughan Index itself at JA 76, which shows that the authors of the report are not CONAGUA. That's the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the Bureau of Reclamation as the authors of the report.
So there are other FOIA exemptions that, of course, would cover foreign relations, and we've had cases like that recently, even, and a foreign government kind of document or a shared document, but it seems odd to me to describe terms in Exemption 5, interagency, as covering something prepared in part by the Mexican government or a Mexican agency.
You'd have to get it classified by the president.
Exemption 1 would be available if the report had been classified. It has not been. I think the important key for Exemption 5 is the consultant relationship. And the record here that we've just gone over makes very clear this was a consultant relationship. These are technical people. It's important to remember, I think, that this...
Does that bring the Mexican Canagua into being a consultant? I mean, I know the people referenced in 81, on 81 in the footnote, as being guided by the Mexicans might be considered a consultant, but can we really call the joint holder, joint tenant, if you would, of the dam system to be a consultant?
In this particular factual context, the answer is yes, because the report was solicited by the U.S. section for its purposes in doing and performing its functions. Because the dam is on the border, and part of it is in Mexico, it is understandable and I think reasonable that Mexican technical consultants had to be consulted to make appropriate recommendations.
Is there anything to prevent the Mexican authority from releasing this report?
I don't have any evidence, there's not on the record, to suggest that the Mexican authority has possession of the report. It's a U.S. section document.
If it was prepared under their guidance, which is what the documents say, wouldn't they get a copy of the report?
I don't think it's fair to conclude on this record that the document was prepared on their guidance. It says the technical consultants worked under their guidance. That doesn't tell us who prepared the report, and we don't have a solid record on chain of custody, Your Honor.
This is FOIA.
FOIA
is to be construed as a statute of disclosure. The exemptions are to be narrowly construed as withholding. To say that we could look at that footnote and conclude that it was not under the Mexican guidance is sort of turning that interpretive standard up backward, isn't it?
My answer is
got the burden to show it's in the exemption.
And that may go to the adequacy of the record that we have before us at this point, which I concede is not overly developed on exactly the role of Conagua, but it is important to recognize, I think, that the U.S. section does not identify Conagua as an author of the report nor a recipient. So on the Vaughan Index, there's no mention of Conagua at all, and that keeps us well within.
A panel of highly qualified expert consultants to work under the guidance of the agency's technical advisors, Perrin, USACE, and Conagua. It seems to be giving the same status to Conagua as to USACE as far as the guidance of the comparers of the report, at least in that footnote.
As far as technical guidance, I think all you can fairly read out of it is as far as technical guidance might go. That could certainly be illuminated greater in this record, but unfortunately it is not. I don't know that I can do much more with the record on the consultant relationship.
Okay. On Exemption 7, then, why don't we turn to that? So why not claim Exemption 7F for all of this?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Including the report, by the way.
The report.
But at least for the 7E stuff, for the action plans. Isn't 7F, especially reading, again, I'm going to refer to Justice Alito's opinion in Milner, he specifically distinguishes the scope of 7F from 7E and notes it's broader. And I think you have a tough time on 7E here. Whereas you have a far easier time on 7F, it seems to me.
Okay, before addressing 7E and F, do you want me to address the threshold?
Yes.
Okay, let's do that first. I think that makes sense. As you've already pointed out, Judge Kavanaugh, the law enforcement purposes in FOIA are broader than just traditional law enforcement, such as by the Department of Justice when it brings a prosecution in a federal court. The nature of this institution is that its powers, primary duties and authority stem from treaties, which are law, those are law enforcement, and its responsibility for maintaining the border includes things like flood control, water resources, sanitation, prevention of pollution. Those kinds of issues are all statutorily based in the statutes, which I might just refer to generally as 22 U.S. Code Section 277 with little letters after it.
Is public safety automatically law enforcement? It seems a strange way for Congress to have expressed itself if it meant to include all public safety.
I would say public public safety is within law enforcement, yes, Your Honor.
All of it is.
Well,
anything that DOT wanted to withhold on how they monitor state highway construction plans would be law enforcement?
I think that's not an easy question to answer in the abstract with a situation like that. But here, where we have a much tighter nexus between what the agency is doing and the sorts of interests that this court has recognized for policy and counterterrorism.
What's your best case where there's some parallel for an agency that doesn't have a traditional law enforcement function claiming this exemption successfully? I'm not saying they can't have it if they can't get the exemption, but where they don't have a clear law enforcement function.
Yeah, I have to point to the cases where the agency has mixed functions. Certainly this court has recognized situations where agencies with mixed functions,
right.
Some are law enforcement, some are less so.
Right. And haven't those all said they have to show that the withheld information comes within the law enforcement function of the agency?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to get at here.
What's the closest to this that you have of something being a law enforcement function that is outside the protection of, I mean, the investigation and prosecution of crime and the terms that we've used in defining law enforcement function?
I guess the best case I have is the case from the District of Utah, the Living Rivers case, it's not this court.
That's a district court.
I understand that.
That isn't within this circuit.
You have a
case from this circuit or the Supreme Court that is anywhere close to what you're asking for here.
I don't have a case site handy for you, Judge Santel, and I apologize for that. It's not controversial that it's mixed function.
No, there can be mixed function, but
right.
you still have to get the function mixed. First thing you have to do is find a law enforcement function within this agency.
Let me.
Within the section. You have to get this information within that function.
Okay, well, let's take that two steps, one at a time.
Okay, what's the closest function to something this section has that the courts have held to be a law enforcement function?
Well, this section has, among other responsibilities that do not relate to dam safety even, so I'm going to stay away from right now the Department of Homeland Security interagency groups that they work on. I'm going to stay away from that for now, but that is the second part of the answer, because that directly relates to the information that's being requested here. But the first part of the answer is contained in 22 U.S. Code Section 277, which delineates several traditional areas of law enforcement within the meaning of FOIA, those being some permitting responsibilities, monitoring and verifying, and investigating the border, maintaining the U.S. border with Mexico is a law enforcement function. A variety of things, Your Honor.
Demarcation. Law enforcement function, or give me a law that has a law.
I don't think we can exclude from the scope of law enforcement treaties, and this organization was created and evolved through a series of treaties. So it's basically water management.
You want to rely on that?
I want to rely in part
on
treaties.
That being under a treaty makes it law enforcement.
Well, it's a treaty that is then I can't remember the word. Adopted by the Senate, whatever the fancy word is.
Yeah, that makes it law.
Right.
That doesn't make everything to do with a treaty law enforcement within the meaning of Exemption 7.
No, not in the traditional sense of enforcement and prosecution, but in the sense of maintaining the border, the demarcation between the two countries, and its responsibilities for protecting citizens from flood control and monitoring pollution levels and to... And then the second part of the answer, even if that were not satisfactory, the second part of the answer stems from the agency's role in these two interagency groups, the Interagency Committee on Dam Safety and the Dams Government Coordinating Council, which are created and reside basically within DHS. And, of course, you can't question DHS's law enforcement.
But we're not asking anybody to question DHS's law enforcement. This is not DHS coming in here withholding.
No, but
this is the center. Your center is affiliated with DHS in some respects. That by itself would not seem to bring you within Exemption 7, would it?
I can't agree with that, Your Honor, because 33 U.S. Code 467E, which establishes the Interagency Committee on Dam Safety, by bringing these agencies in for the purposes of the Interagency Committee on Dam Safety, subsumes the agency's works within that committee as part of its mission to assess threats to the critical infrastructure in the country.
It's on the Rio Grande River. Is that a hydroelectric project?
I know there's a hydroelectric function with Falcon Dam, which is the other dam at issue here. I think there is, Your Honor, but I'm not 100% sure, and I'd hate to give you that answer.
There's a huge reservoir behind it.
That's what usually...
Yeah, and it could be a dam for the purpose of irrigation as opposed to hydroelectric dam.
Yeah, there are about, I think, 17 dams on the Rio Grande between the United States and Mexico.
And it's regulated. It would be regulated if it's a hydroelectric dam. It would be regulated by FERC.
I would believe so, but I'm not 100% sure of that either.
This agency that we're talking about here has no regulatory function, does it?
Regulatory in the sense of, I think it does have some regulatory functions with regard to the river or the It's not for regulating. I think it owns the dam, the U.S. part of the dam. So it doesn't have traditional regulatory authority in the sense of FERC. Yeah. But when you link it up with FERC, is actually one of the members on the Interagency Committee on Dam Safety, among others.
I wanted to. Your time is rapidly it's expired already. I wanted to ask you about the Exemption 7E, which applied to the emergency. Is it the Joint Emergency Report on the Anisette Dam?
No. Exemption 7E is asserted in a limited fashion here with regard to parts of the emergency action plans. One thing I think I want to clarify here is, briefly, information was released here. This FOIA request was not denied. 1,492 pages of information were released, and there's a redacted amount of information under 7E that were meant to assist components with the section and other executive agencies, including the FBI, the Border Patrol, and the Air Force, to manage situations in the event of them.
Whatever was not released in that joint emergency report or whatever it was not released because of 7E.
That's right. The portions of the emergency of the...
What I wonder is, and I don't see this in your brief, but where is the... 7E doesn't talk about law enforcement purposes. It talks about techniques and procedures and guidelines for law enforcement investigations and prosecutions. Where's the law enforcement investigation that this is a guideline for? Where is the prosecution that this is a guideline?
This isn't a guideline prosecution, Your Honor. This is protected because, among other things, it mentions how they're going to conduct surveillance of Falcon Dam in the event of an emergency. So the emergency itself sort of presupposes a law enforcement event. And these are the guidelines that law enforcement are going to use to respond.
But it has to be an investigation or a prosecution. Where is the investigation or prosecution?
Well, you said any dam emergency would trigger an investigation. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. There would necessarily be an investigation of an event that would cause this emergency action plan, that's what it's called, to be put into play.
It wouldn't necessarily be a law enforcement investigation.
I'm sure there would be multiple types of investigations that might happen. I point out that in the reply brief, Peer assumes that the surveillance plans that are being withheld under Exemption 70 are dam-related, or that they relate to somehow the water flow, that's not supported in the record.
If the dam cracks or there's some difficulty with it, does this section do the investigation?
I'm sorry, I don't understand your question.
If there's a problem with the dam,
any kind of problem,
for whatever reason,
right?
Sabotage or whatever.
Wear and tear.
Does this section do the investigation?
I'm sure the section would do an investigation. Thankfully, we don't have an example in the record to know that.
Has that authority to investigate?
Yes, Your Honor.
Where is that?
It's authority to...
is that 277?
Yes, it's one of those sections. I would give you the subsection here. 277D-17A and D-341 give it duties to conduct technical and other investigations regarding a broad array of things that would certainly include any major problem at a dam, you know, minor problem at a dam. As to 7E, if we can get there, past those issues, I think the cases are relatively clear that the risk here is a reasonable one and that protecting the information is appropriate. If I could briefly address Exemption 7F to return to your question, Judge Kavanaugh. 7F, let me just start with, is for the inundation maps only, because their release could reasonably be expected to endanger life or physical safety of any individual.
That's the easy part of the case, right? I mean,
that's why I wanted to end there.
Right, yes. I mean, the critical infrastructure documents, I think we can agree the release is going to be a safety issue. The question really is the trigger for 7F, the compile for law enforcement purposes. Yeah. Again, as Justice Alito pointed out in Milner, that's the tougher question. My concern about 7F, maybe you can address, is this is a big issue now because Milner ends really Exemption 2, and I think that's why there's a scarcity of cases on Exemption 7F. So this will be potentially an important case on that. My concern about 7F is its potential to really expand and cover lots of things where you can say, well, if this were released, that would help a terrorist. I mean, that kind of rationale could cover lots of government information. So how do we use 7F in this case without...
opening up the dam, as it were?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Good way to put it.
Well,
what's the line? How would you have us write the test for 7F?
Well, the statute itself gives you a standard to apply, which is a reasonableness standard, so that it has to be a reasonable risk expected to endanger the life or physical safety of any individual. Now, any individual is very broad language, so that
and
will
give... And it first has to be records or information compiled for law enforcement purposes.
Yes.
That, yes, 7F is not a substitute for that. That's a step.
Right.
After you first met the general language.
Yes, that's true. But to answer your question...
I think my point is you've defined that to really bring public safety within law enforcement purposes, which...
Not categorical. We don't mean to do that categorically.
Yeah, and I don't know how... Yeah, that's a problem for you because I don't see what's the high public safety and low public safety.
Oh, it's like Kroger all over again.
Yes. And how do you divide the transportation highway maps... the maps DOT has of all the bridges in the United States, which are
right.
clearly targets of terrorists,
right.
and the maps of all the exit ramps and the maps of all the buildings, and are these all protected under 7F?
Time will tell whether the courts uphold those sorts of assertions or even whether the executive chooses to make them. Because
well, that's a different question.
That's the first question. We won't be here unless that happens. But here's my shortest
I know,
answer
what
to that.
What we say in this case, this is my concern about
right.
writing the opinion, what we say in this case could have implications for lots of future cases.
Sure. I think the key facts to focus on this case, and I think this case may be cabin to its facts because it's unique for several reasons that we've discussed, I think that the difference is the critical infrastructure here is on the border of the United States. You don't have
what
to have access to
that,
the United
we
States.
We can't write an opinion that says critical infrastructure on the border is different from critical infrastructure in Washington. That's what kind of opinion is that in terms of the statutory language?
I wasn't meaning to suggest that is the line, but I think that those facts are part of what drive the reasonableness calculus in this case, and that's essentially what the courts are going to be doing. It's a line drawing exercise of reasonableness, and here where the dam can be attacked without even having to gain access to the United States is just part of the calculus.
Every building that the government owns is potentially critical infrastructure of some kind or another, no? Mm-hmm. We had a case 2 years ago on an agriculture building in
Maryland.
Maryland.
Yeah, I remember that one.
As you recall. And, we were arguing about Exemption 2 then because that was pre-Milner, but that would now be a 7F kind of thing. And is that kind of building covered by 7F? That's the question.
That's the question I'm thinking about.
If you win here, does that mean the entire apparatus of the federal government is critical infrastructure in some respects? Where do we draw the line, and how is every document related to design, safety of a building, of personnel, is that all protected now? You could go a long way with 7F if we defined it that way.
I don't disagree with that because I can't. Yeah. What I recall of what the material was, the biological material that was out in that facility in Maryland, I think 7F might be a good argument there for protecting at least the most critical parts of that entire facility. I'm not sure you'd get it for the entire property, as I recall.
To go to Judge Santel's question, I think the limiting principle here is going to be found and compiled for law enforcement purposes. And that's tricky because a lot of public safety, which is the 7F test itself, is going to cover a lot of things. The question is going to be, I think, the harder question, compiled for law enforcement purposes.
Yeah.
Perhaps, but if we're focusing on the 7F question itself, then this court's...
But you don't get to F till you get it under 7.
Yeah.
That's correct. You don't get there unless you pass the threshold.
7F is compiled for law enforcement purposes.
Right. Right. This report was done to help inform the classification of the dam as part of the critical infrastructure of the country that's been identified and ranked. Maybe the ranking will help serve as a guide for what is more or less critical. Mm-hmm. That's one potential source of additional information.
But only to the extent that the production of such law enforcement regulatory information. Never mind.
I see that my time has expired. I would ask that the court affirm the decision, and if it is unsatisfied with the record, remand for further development of the record.
Thank you. Give you 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Just a couple quick things. First of all, on the role of the Mexican agency, if you go back to this JA-81 in that footnote, what it says is that the expert panel, to include the technical advisors, which is what CONAGUA is, made several site visits, evaluated current and historical data, and conducted a potential failure modes analysis for the dam. So clearly they were totally involved in everything that went into this report. Secondly, for Judge Santel, I just wanted to say that the case that says that Exemption 5 doesn't cover factual material is EPA versus Mink in the Supreme Court.
EPA versus what?
Mink, 410 U.S. 73.
Give me the site again, please. I'm sorry.
EPA versus Mink, 410 U.S. 73.
Okay, Sam, thank you.
And then just to get back to what we were discussing at the end about how would you define what could be critical infrastructure under 7F without taking in every street map in the country that could be of assistance to terrorists, that actually Congress has created some critical infrastructure exemptions by law for the Department of Defense, and there's a whole process of showing that these materials should be exempted and that the public interest weighs in favor of not allowing them out, that's internal to the Department of Defense. And it seems to me that that is a much better route. Exemption 3 is a better route to exempt this sort of material rather than to contort Exemption 7 to cover something it really wasn't meant to cover and which could potentially take in practically every agency of the federal government and every activity that goes on in the United States. I mean, if you look at the critical infrastructure agencies that we've outlined in our brief, you know, it covers practically everything. It's Health and Human Services, it's EPA, it's, you know, Department of Transportation. You don't want to have Exemption 7 go there.
Well, do you disagree with any of Justice Alito's concurrence in Milner as to how to apply 7F? And you may not have an answer to that, but if you do, I would be interested in hearing.
No, I don't disagree with anything he said. What he said is that 7F might apply here if you could get past the compiled for law enforcement purposes part of it, you know, that we won't confine law enforcement to just court cases, that it can be security, it can be terrorism prevention.
It applies to more than just as investigations and prosecutions.
Yes, it does in general, but not in 7.
Law enforcement purposes include security.
Yeah, that's true generally. In 7E in particular is limited to investigations and prosecutions.
But not 7F, he distinguished.
But not 7F, that's correct. Any other questions?
Thank you. Case is submitted.